weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome to the show. This is John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. This is a show that we call Alphabet Soup. Although, I have to say, Mr. Roberts, I did look on the City Talk 105.9 website, and on there, it's still called Bishop Sunday Service.
You're joking.
It still is.
You're joking.
It still is. Although, by the time some people hear this, because of the time delay between hearing it on Saturday evening or Sunday afternoon, it may well have been corrected. But no, I meant to tell you that. Because you're not getting your due dessert. It's still got my name in the title.
I've had plenty of desserts, lad.
Deserves, I think, or whatever the word. Yeah, yeah. It's still got my name in the title as if you're just there as an add-on. And, you know, we know the reality of it. We know that without you here, this would be nothing. And I know in your head as well, there's a step. We've gone from the Bishop Sunday Service to Alphabet Soup to the Kelvin Roberts Hour. That's the way it's going.
Fantastic.
We are a couple of months away from me being eradicated from this show completely.
So, am I your ball from Cannon? You know, am I your son from Steptoe?
Are you my butch from Sundance? Yeah, maybe. Oh, Saunders from French. But... That needs to be corrected. So if people have logged onto the website to hear this via the podcasting route, that's why it's not got the same name. Because it was called a Sunday Service, but now because we're on a Saturday night, it couldn't be. It's the Alphabet Soup.
And the Sunday afternoon.
And the Sunday afternoon.
Which from this week is our new time slot, which is now, so it's roughly what? It's 1:05 now, so...
So if it's
a Sunday, it's 1:05.
It's good, yeah, yeah. If it's Sunday. Yeah. If it's not Sunday, then we just made the time up. And somebody from the authorities is going to come in and say, you've lied to the viewers, you've told them a time it wasn't.
Well, as we know, we do this live on a Saturday night and it gets repeated on a Sunday. So
yeah. So
you get a double dose.
Do you get... Yeah.
I'll step to one, son.
But what's happening is that, yeah, so we've been moved around on a Sunday. We're now on every Sunday at 1:00 for the duration of our contract, which means tune in every week, because we've no idea. There's a good chance if after 1:05, you've not heard one of us talking, we're gone. The show's over.
You tuned in and found an Ishmael Patel. The show's been outsourced to India.
Yeah. To a call centre. To a call centre who are ready to answer all of your questions. Talking of call centres, one thing that we discussed last time we were here was the Oscars and well, it was the BAFTAs, wasn't it? And what's going to go forward for the Oscars and the films. And you were talking about Slumdog Millionaire.
That's right.
Slumdog Millionaire, and there's a big scene in there about the call centre. There's also a scene in Slumdog Millionaire. When I came into the studio and you said, how's your week been? And I said, I don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you after. There's a scene in Slumdog Millionaire which I lived through this week. Where we had a block drain. Now, anyone who's had a block drain will understand what that means. That means your drain's blocked. And the way our house is that the lowest point is like this little vestibule that's by the cellar. And that's where the drain is. And Melanie said to me, the drain's blocked. I said, I'll go and have a look. And I went outside and there was all this mush there. And it had an aroma about it, but it was mush. And it looked like sort of greyish paper mache. I said, somebody's left a load of cardboard. So I had to go with all the kids. You've thrown a cardboard out by the drain because it's gone into the drain. So there was all this grey mash. I said, no. So then I shoveled up the grey mash into a bag and then I put my hand down the drain to see if I could unblock it. And there was all this mash everywhere. And no, couldn't be unblocked. So I went to a DIY shop and I got this acid stuff that you put down the drain, which unblocks any organic material down there and releases it. And he says you leave it for 20 minutes. So I poured it down, like you do when you're doing a man's job. I did it like your dad. I said, you know, everyone step back. This has got acid in. Your dad's fixing the drain. And I poured it down and stood there in me manly fashion waiting for it to be cleared. And it bubbled up. It actually bubbled. And then more of the grey stuff came out. And the aroma wasn't great. I put that down to the acid. And it was coming out. And it was full. And in the end, Melanie phoned Dinah Rod. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever had Dinah Rod come to your house, but you may as well phone all your neighbours and say, I've got a block drain. This big, this orange van with Dinah Rod written on the side came, and he had lights on. He had lights on the top, and he was spinning lights.
Well, he off your red lights, can he?
Yeah, and he come out with these yellow pants. I said, you're a bit bright, aren't you? You could see you from a satellite. I said, I'm trying to keep the neighbours. I don't want them to know we've got a block drain. So he comes round the back. I said, look, mate, I don't know what it is. All this grey stuff's here, this. I said, it looks like cardboard. He said, it's... I went, what? He said, that's what it is. He said, it's human waste. I went, oh, no. And I felt like that kid in the scene in Slumdog Millionaire when he jumps in a load of it to hold up the picture. I said, I've been kneeling down in that. I've got a bag that I shoveled out. Oh, I was nearly sick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, mate, it was awful. It was awful. And the poor lad was there for 2 hours, by which time I threw all the clothes I'd worn away in a bag and burnt them and then got a bath in the acid myself. And then the lad was gone, and he had these big long gloves that he'd been putting his arms down and wedging it through. And 2 hours it took him to clear it. And in the end, I took a few quid out of my pocket. Took 20 quid it was, to be honest with you. And I went to give him a tip, and he was there with this, these big gloves on, covered in gunk. So I just slipped it into his pocket. He said, you didn't have to do that. I said, believe me, I did. I said, what you've been through today, I said, you deserve to go home and have a drink on me, son. So my week this week has just been,
I don't know what to say.
Honestly, the kids won't talk to me. At least in Slumdog Millionaire, that lad got an autograph signed. I got nothing. Except fewer clothes than I used to have. Oh. So it's a word of warning. If you're looking at something and you think it's cardboard, there's a chance. So anyway, how's your week been?
Why would you think cardboard would be going down your drains?
You know what I think it is? You know what I thought is because... it's on the way to the bin, and what I thought, quite wrongly, being a parent, is I thought the kids had just been lazy, throwing a load of cardboard on the way to the bin of, I don't know, something that they might have bought or something, and it's got wet over time, and it's just, obviously, not it been eaten. Anyway, how's your week been now that you've had a week back on the other station?
Yeah, back on the big RC 967. It's been good, actually. Yeah, it's been fun working with Mr. Fitz.
For those who don't know, Kelvin's working with Mr. Neil Fitzmaurice on the drive show of Radio City, our sister station. And because Neil's new to the world of radio, Kelvin's doing what is called driving the desk.
It's a bit more than that.
Which is basically pressing a few buttons and putting records on.
That's what you think it is it?
That's what it is. You're not driving anywhere, are you?
It's like me saying to you, all you do is go on stage and tell a joke.
It's true, that's all I do.
There's an art to it, you know. It's planning, an art to... it's preparation.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously there to help Mr. Neil Fitzmaurice along the rocky road of radio presentation.
Radio presentation.
Yeah, I'm like a troubleshooter. Yeah. I'm sent in to solve problems.
Yeah. I wish you'd have had you. I could have come down and solved the problem at our house this week. And what's worse as well, I went to the Lord Mayor's Valentine's Ball and I always feel like because of Gunners, I guess I always feel like I should bid for something, and I bid for a programme signed by Kenny Dalglish, which I didn't need to bid for because he was in the room. I could have just got one and said, "Can you sign that for us?" But I bid for that, and then afterwards, Craig, you know Craig from Big Brother, who does the 60-minute makeover,
Phillips.
Yeah, yeah. Craig Phillips. Well, he had two things in. One was the 60-minute makeover. You could do that. Or the other one was Craig Phillips would come to your house and fix your jobs.
Could have fixed your drains.
Well, exactly. I'd already bought the programme. And then when there was a chance to have Craig come to our house, Melanie was going, bid for Craig. I'm not bidding for Craig. She said, bid for Craig to come to our house. And when my arm was down there, up to my armpit, she was saying, I bet you wish Craig was here now. I said, yeah, he could have put this on a 60-minute makeover. That would have been funny. Yeah, so you've had a good week with him?
Yes, yes.
He's settled in?
He has. I mean, obviously, he does a show here on City Talk as well. He's got a Saturday job.
He does Saturday on City Talk, doesn't he?
10 till 12.
That's a Saturday. That's like his paper round, isn't it?
That's a Saturday job, yeah, for his pocket money. You know, so yeah, Monday to Friday, 4 till 7. But you won't hear me, though. I'm keeping in the background. Like I say, I'm a troubleshooter.
Troubleshooter.
I'm like Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. I just go in and solve problems.
Mr. Wolf. The Wolf. Oh, Harvey Keitel. Yeah. Yeah, the Wolf Man.
That's me.
Yeah. That's good. Again, that was like the Wolf Man. I've got them in holes down in the garden. We get too many references. Anyway, what we're doing this week, what we do on this show, because it's called the Alphabet Soup, is we talk about things in alphabetical order.
Have you not got your research?
I have, actually. It's on my email, so I need to log on to the email and pull up, because the letter this week is the letter L.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
L.
Now, last week, you tested me. You kind of put me on the spot.
Why?
And asked me to name some films that began with the letter K.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
So, I'm going to reverse it here. I'm going to get you to name 10 football teams that begin with the letter L. And you can't have Liverpool.
10 football teams and they can't have Liverpool?
No.
Blinking, eh?
Okay, you can have 11.
All right, then, we'll have 11. Liverpool. Luton. Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that there's 10?
No, I've just
There are Football League teams, and there are 10 of them, or just two teams.
I'm thinking of two already here.
Hang on.
Yeah.
So I've done Luton, Leeds.
Liverpool.
Flipping, I'm struggling with that. Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln Town.
Lincoln City.
Oh, Lincoln City.
Yep.
Lincoln is a city, and it's got a cathedral.
That's right.
I'm going to have to go through the leagues now. Leicester.
Yep.
I
think I did my films a lot quicker.
I think you did do your films a lot quicker, but films are a lot easier. I'm struggling.
I've got two here.
Go on, then.
I've got Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein's a country. In fact, it's not even a country. It's a principality.
They've got a football team. Trust me. Lazio.
Well, hang on. I thought it was just the English Football League.
I didn't say that.
I said the Football League.
I didn't say English.
If it's
I
ever,
didn't say
English. Because then I'd go to Lens.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Lens.
Yeah.
We've got Lazio, Lens. We'll have...
Leighton Orient.
What a good one. The O's. Well done.
Thank you. There you go. We've got 10 there. We need one more.
No, you can't have Liechtenstein. Surely we can't allow Liechtenstein.
Yeah. They have a football team.
This is not very good radio. But, oh, Linfield!
Who?
Linfield.
Linfield?
Yeah, in Ireland.
Ah, I was going to say Livingston then, so we got...
Livingston, of course, yeah.
There we go, we did 12 then, there you go. Happy days.
I tell you what...
We got 11 on the sub.
Yeah. I tell you what, we struggled there.
We did a little bit, yes.
We did. Next time, I'm sure when you're doing your show with Neil Fitzmaurice, you don't say, hey, I'm going to throw something in the middle here that's going to ruin the show.
Yeah, but different time of show. They play
Wiki Wah Wah
music.
Yeah, Wiki Wah Wah, Wiki Wah Wah Wah. How's he getting on with the music of the kids? Hey, here's some, what is it called? Wobbles? The Wobbles? If you want to listen to it, it's up to you. Yeah, yeah, see, we missed the music, but there you go. We've got letters. And as I say, what we're meant to do is we're meant to do things in an alphabetical order, and we're up to the letter L. One thing that I will do is I'll need to log on to my email to see what Hungry Students has provided for us. How far are we away from a break so that I can log on to that?
About 5 minutes.
We're 5 minutes away from a break, so I can't log on because when I log on and talk into the microphone at the same time, all disasters ensue. And the reason for that is because I'm not actually...
Here.
Yeah. able to do it. I should be able to do it. I'm just not. It's just one of those things that, like there's an article in the paper about various accidents that have happened. Some horrendous and some quite minor with regard to people who are texting whilst driving. That is just beyond me. That is just ridiculous, as far as I can see. Unless somebody comes up with something that you can have. Have you seen those cars now where you can get the monitor on the windscreen, so you can actually, you know, instead of having to look down, it's reflected up. BMWs have the music. You could text then if the buttons are on your... No, you don't think that would work?
Well, isn't it just the same kind of distraction? Isn't that the whole point?
To an extent, yeah. But that's what I mean. Unless it's made easy, don't do it. I just couldn't. I can't find my emails and talk into a microphone, let alone text and drive. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. And people, we've now come into the age now where everyone's supposed to be able to do three or four things at once. And I'm not one of them. But you are. You are. That's your role.
What, me?
Yeah.
I can do all that, can I?
Well, no.
You turn my phone off when I get into a car. I hate mobile phones.
I hate mobile phones.
I'm not a big fan of them. They're convenient, but I don't know. I mean, we live in a society now where people just can't live without their flipping phones. You go to the cinema, and they're texting. Put it away! Put it away! You do not need to text.
You know what?
You're in a film.
No, I tell you what. You know what you should have in cinemas? I think you should have like a metal detector, like they've got going into the airport, where you've got to get rid of all of your mobile phones, your jangly keys, and then you should have another detector for that. There is nothing more annoying on this planet than somebody doing that.
You know what's great?
Why did he sell things that make a noise in a bloody cinema? It annoys me.
It is frustrating.
Yeah, you're there, you're watching something moving like the end of Schindler's List, and you've got...
How did you last go to the cinema?
But you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of something that everyone's seen, something tragic, something important.
What did you have to that? Rocky 2? Yeah. No, it is annoying. And I always seem to attract them. I'm like a beacon. I always seem to get the girl behind me who seems to make a whole bucket, and it is a bucket of popcorn, lasts for 2 hours. How is that possible? 2 hours!
I know. Popcorn! Make huge idea that popcorn should be the food of the cinema.
Yeah, you never eat it at home.
No, you don't eat a hot dog at home. Who said? I tell you what. It's like cinema.
It's
popcorn.
The Toblerone of cinema. That's what it is.
It is. It exists in one place. Yeah. Like Toblerones exist at airports. They exist in the cinema. And it makes no sense. I've never thought this film would be better with a gob full of popcorn. It doesn't help the film, does it?
No.
It doesn't. There's no rationale to it at all. If I ever own a cinema, I'm going to ban popcorn. I know that there'll be people from the cinema industry listening to this who'll say, you don't understand the markup, and I do.
But do you know what, right? There's a cinema in Liverpool you may know called Fact.
Yeah.
Okay? They banned popcorn.
No!
Let me finish. They banned popcorn. And do you know what? There was a revolt. There was anarchy.
No.
So they brought it back.
No.
We started going because it was popcorn free.
Popcorn free?
I think it lasted about 3 weeks before there was uproar.
I think popcorn will end up developing the same social stigma as smoking in years to come. There'll be big signs. There'll be big signs saying, you know, popcorn free cinema. And people will go there and say, we didn't know how much damage popcorn was doing to us. We didn't realise that those little irritations were causing stresses in our soul that was end up leading to us all having heart attacks in years to come. If only because we suppressed the need to turn around and punch the popcorn eater in the head and therefore put more pressure on our own bodies. Popcorn-free cinemas will pop up everywhere. And all those people who are now pushing popcorn onto little kids and trying to develop the market for popcorn in the third world, shame on you! Shame on you!
Black market popcorn and yeah, fortune, mate.
Exactly, there'll be people going up and saying, I'm not even doing some, you want some popcorn? Have you got any salted? God, like, I can't get salted anywhere. I haven't got salted. I've got sweet, but I can't get salted anywhere. And I've cut it with some crisps. Just so you can get the noise effect. It'll happen. It'll happen.
So we'll have to wait a while because, first of all, they'll ban it in Ireland. And then it'll go to about 14 of the UK, of the US states.
They'll ban it in Ireland. All the Irish will go, what is it? What?
And then they'll find one town in England you never heard of to trial it.
Yeah. Years. Exactly.
And then it'll be widespread. So then it'll 2020
be,
maybe.
It'll be widespread and then there'll be some maverick manager of an Odeon somewhere in Birmingham that says, no, all the popcorn eaters can come here. I'm going to stand against this ban. And there'll be loads of buses of fatties turning up with buckets. I want to eat it.
There'll be private cinema dens.
Yeah,
you have to knock three times to get it.
Yeah. Just like the old, yeah. There'll be a new Al Capone of popcorn popping up everywhere. It'll be like Bugsy Malone, with, you know, the guns in Bugsy Malone, but firing popcorn. Tell you, mate, that's the future.
It's only around the corner, lad.
A popcorn ban. Anyway, it's around the corner, but around the corner here, there's more chat just after this when I've logged on and found out where we're at with the world of the letter A. You're listening to John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts. This is Alphabet Soup. This is a popcorn-free zone. It's City Talk 105.9.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is John Bishop's Kelvin Roberts. We're here doing the letter L on our little journey through the Alphabet Soup. It's an interesting letter. What we tend to do is we pick a letter, we have a chat. We've just discussed, though, prior to our little break, the fact that popcorn should be banned in cinemas. Now, what I've got is the facility of a student called Lee who picks the odd word for us. And he sent me an email with the odd words suggesting what to talk about. And one of the things that he suggested talking about was once banned. And it was once banned. I'll tell you who banned it. You don't know who it is, do you? Who banned it? Da-da-da-da. It was banned by the king and by parliament because they thought it might jeopardise the practice of archery and they needed people to be practising archery in case they came into a battle.
Right.
And statutes forbidding the war and other sports were enacted in the reigns of Edward III and Richard II. Think what it might be. Go on, think what it might be. Go on, think what it might be.
That began with an L.
Began with an L. And what happened? They banned it because people would stop doing archery. But then when archery became less important in the fighting of war, so when they invented gunpowder and stuff, they thought, go on, let them have a go at it. You'd be amazed to think that this was once banned. You will be absolutely amazed.
I haven't got the faintest. Go on.
Bowls. Lawn bowls.
What? Oh, my lawn.
Lawn bowls. Yeah, no, because there's different types of bowls, isn't it? So it was lawn bowls, which was the game that was being played.
Right.
In fact, Sir Francis Drake played it. Remember when the Spanish Armada came? And he said, we can see the Armada. And he said, I've got a game of bowls on here. After the game, we'll go and have a fight. Do you remember that? That's a famous thing. In fact, I think is that mentioned there? Yeah, when the Spanish Armada came, Sir Francis Drake was playing bowls in Plymouth in 1588. Now, how brilliant is that to say? Did he? Look, lads, I've got a game on. I had me pound on the side of the bowling green for ages. I'm going to finish my game first. So it was banned. That's massive. I think that's brilliant. That.
You ever played?
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone's played bowls.
I've never played it.
You've never played lawn bowls?
No.
No.
I'm fascinated the way they've turned this into an Olympic sport, because isn't that thing where the... What's it called with that big piece of cheese that they do? Curling.
Oh, curling.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's not bowls.
Yeah,
that's curling.
That's originated from garden bowls, isn't it? That's what they do. You know about the thing where they have the big black balls and they go like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's similar to curling,
yeah,
isn't it?
But you can't... Why? Because he rolls something. He can't say... That's like saying marbles is the same and ten-pin bowling.
It's a very similar...
All right, it's
one's
similar.
One's on grass, one's on ice.
Well, all right, then, all
one's
right.
One's a big piece of Edam, one's a big ball.
But you've come from like, bowls. All right, then, if you take lawn bowls, and then you say, all right, how's the lawn bowls? You've got curling,
yeah.
Which, you know, we never heard of until the Scottish won. Did they win a gold medal? Did they brush it up? Rich... I mean, I love it because they're on the Olympics and they're on the telly. And when they're on the telly, there's millions or at least hundreds of thousands watching and they've got that moment of glory. But you think, they're practising that all year round with nobody watching. It's got to be heartbreaking. Every 4 years, they say, oh, there's a crowd there. Oh, there's no one left now. They've gone. Just practice again, Mary. So they do that. There's curling. But and then the other thing that's at the Olympics as well is bowls, which is not crown green bowls, which is lawn bowls, but it's the bowls where they're on a mat. Have you seen that? That's the one that you're talking about on the telly, where they roll them on a mat and it's a straight mat, and then they have little cards. So like there's red against white, and you can score. You can score, I think, up to 3 points or 2 points. I can't remember. Good
right.
game.
Yeah, well.
Good game.
I look forward to taking it home.
But you've never played Crown Green Bowls?
Never.
Never?
No.
I tell you what, when we get into the summer and this show goes outside, as we plan to
do... You'll take me for a game.
I'll take you for a game. I will take you for a game.
Where my sister lives...
My mum and dad play it. It's great.
There was a Crown Green bowling thing on the back of my sister's house. I was looking at it thinking, how immaculate the grass is.
And how much it would be great to play football on it.
Yeah, well, my nephew did.
Yeah, that's all you think of when you're a kid.
They never knew. They never knew, but...
That's all you think of when you're a kid.
But that's how close I came to having a game.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's a great, great game. It's a great game. And the whole thing about it now is you've got to get your woods being the big black ones, you've got to get them weighted to your style of... to your curl. You see, everyone's got their own curl. And then you do that little bit where it fades around the back. And you've got to be careful. You know why it's called a crown green bowls?
Tell me.
Because it's on a crown. So it's not a flat area. It's not a flat square. It's on a crown. It rolls off at the edges. So that the bowl can go into the gully if you push it too far.
Is there a computer game version of this game?
I don't think...
It's something on Wii we can practice on.
I don't think, as of yet, they've looked at it and thought, the kids will love this. Let's make it a game. And then halfway through, the bowls can start blowing up. And it can be Call of Duty 10 or something like that. You know why I've just stumbled as I'm talking there? You know what someone's done? We're on... For those people who don't know the Radio City Tower, the studio is, if you go to the tower, and then it's a big round studio, and then the studios are within the tower, and the way the desk is set up... Tours are available. And if you haven't come, honestly, it is definitely, definitely worth it. And Kelvin runs the tours, so you can come and actually see Kelvin. and don't even look out the window. Just look at Kelvin. but it's brilliant because particularly where the city's looking at the moment, it's a great sight, so come and see it. But you'll see if you do, you can walk around the whole circumference of the building. And inside you've got the windows, and then inside we've got the studios. And in the studios, there's one side of the desk wherein Kelvin's now sat, and there's the other side of the desk wherein I am now sat. And I am sat on the side where traditionally you would have a guest. I think that's fair to say.
Yep.
And a person running the desk, i.e. Kelvin's on the other side. Now, I'm in Studio 2, and at some point in recent weeks, someone has been in Studio 2 as a guest and decided to leave some chewing gum. I've just haven't had the horrendous experience that I've had at the start of the week, put my hands in things I didn't want to. I've just sat here and just put my finger into someone else's bubble gum. How horrendous. Who comes into a radio? I'm going to rip it off.
If I clean that, will you tip me 20 quid?
Yeah. If you turn up in a big orange van with lights on. Oh, God. Who's done that?
That is just... You know what? We should DNA test that and get the person who did it.
We've got CCTV, haven't we? Have we got CCTV in the studio?
Yeah. Hello! Hello!
Yeah, there we go. Get the cameras on it and see who's done that.
Oh, that's disgusting. You know, I hate that. There's some vile people in this planet.
Oh, that's awful, awful, horrible, 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 horrible.
Anyway, you know what? If you put that in your mouth, you know, it'll taste fresh.
Oh, God! You only knew because you've done it.
We've all done it.
We've never done it. Who's ever picked up someone else's bubblegum and thought, I'll stick that in my mouth?
That'll be something else's. I mean, if you have a bit of chewy and you left it for 10 minutes and went back in it, it tastes like it was new.
No! Violet, you don't do
Violet
that.
Violet Beauregard did it on Willy Wonka.
Yeah, and what happened to me?
She turned into a blueberry.
Because it was everlasting. It was everlasting.
No, that was the gobstopper. She was the chewer. She was the gum chewer. I think it was Violet. She had the world record.
She turned purple, didn't she?
She's turned into a blueberry.
Yeah.
Because she had the chewing gum that turned into a three-course meal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it was the dessert that was her downfall.
You know what? I think this show reflects what's wrong with our life, to be honest. We're having a chat about Willy Wonka.
Yeah, but everyone can relate to it.
Everyone
who's
can
not see Willy Wonka?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And why, after, 30 years after the original film, has someone yet not come out with the everlasting Godstopper? All it is a marble with flavours around it. I mean, surely it can't be that hard.
I don't think you're allowed to sell marbles to kids. Not to eat.
As long as they don't swallow them. And that's not the intention with a Godstopper, is it?
Just say, put that in your mouth.
Come with a health warning. You're okay.
I can't see that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Can't see that.
You know what I couldn't understand about that film? It was totally flawed. Because they said, nobody ever went in and nobody ever went out. What about his tax return? What if the Vat Man turned up?
I think in Willy Wonka's world, the Vat Man, I think you're taking it too literal. I need to say to you now, it wasn't real. It wasn't real. Oh, look at that kid. Little kid on the telly being brilliant. It wasn't real. It was just made up. So Willie didn't submit a VAT return. Amongst many of us, Willie didn't submit one.
Anyway, so what else have you got then?
Oh, yeah, the other thing that he's put on here is, look, a chance happening or that which happens beyond a person's control, luck can be good or bad, as in good fortune or misfortune.
Don't believe in luck. I think you
What's
your
the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you? You're a betting man.
Do you know what, actually? It happened today.
No way.
It happened today. I was out with Yundugal. I was going to this printing company for these leaflets, right? And I could probably say
Dougal who came in.
Yeah, Yundugal.
Yeah.
Right.
Why do you call him Dougal?
Because he looks like Dougal from the Magic Roundabout.
Right. Anyway. Oh, no. His real name's Adam, yeah. Isn't it? Sorry, but you Dougal can call fans. Him Dougal if you want.
And this pigeon flew
there'd above me.
There'd
be people listening to this, and we're looking around, I think there's loads of kids look like Dougal. I don't know if he's the real one. So go on, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I was walking down towards Queen Square, and this pigeon flew right in front of me and had a poop, and it landed just before my shoe. another step and it had gone right into me. That was lucky.
I've got a photograph of this. I was at a friend's wedding in France, and I was on my own. I wasn't living with Melanie at the time, and it was a friend's wedding, and I was sat with another mate of mine and his wife, and we sat having a chat, and she said, you know, you're looking forward to the wedding tonight. I said, well, you know what it's like, you're going to a wedding on your own. It's never the easiest thing, is it? And she said, and this is honest to God through all my kids' life, she said, you never know, you might get lucky. And just as she said it, a pigeon dupe landed right on my nose. And I'm not kidding you. Not on my shoulders, not on my head, on my nose, on the end of my nose. She took a photograph of it running down my nose. Now that... As it happens, I never copped off either. I mean, I washed my face after.
You should have bought a lottery ticket, though.
But
really.
I tell you what, people say that that's lucky. But the luckiest thing, like the luckiest bet you've ever had or something like that, where you shouldn't have won, but you did.
Yeah,
but
there's been quite a few like that, though. There's always one where you've had a horse and it's come in second and the leader's fell at the last fence and you've gone and won. But yeah. Then again, it's happened many times. I've been the one at the front who's then gone and fallen. So there's lots of stuff like that. And the thing with horses...
Well, do you believe in luck? Do you think things happen? There are lucky people?
No. I just believe people make their own luck.
What do you think? There's bad luck?
Gary Player, the famous golf player, once commented and said, The more I practice, the luckier I become.
Yeah.
And I believe in that, actually. Yeah, I just believe you make your own luck. You know, I don't believe there's any kind of, you know, spangle like stardust been sprinkled on people and they go and win. I don't believe in that. It's, you know, you just make your own luck, don't you?
Yeah, but betting's about luck. Like, the best I've ever done was on Sean Wright Phillips. Sean Wright Phillips won me £1,000 because I was at Man City against Man United. This was years ago, about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. I can't remember when it was, to be honest. About that then, Man City were playing Man United. Man United were flying, winning everything. And I had a bet that City would win 4-1. 4-1, 100-1. And all my mates went, no, you got no chance. And I was sat with another lad who was a Man United supporter who had the bet that Man City would win 3-2. And the odds for him was 66-1. Mm-hmm. I was still the big one at 100-1. And I had this bet. And what had happened, Man City were winning 3-1 with 20 minutes to go. And on one side he was hoping that United score, yeah. So that City win 3-2, and on the other side I'm hoping that Man City score and win 4-1, and there was no chance that City were going to score. They were getting absolutely battered. So I said to him, "Do you want to split the bet?" And he went, "No, you got no chance. I'm sticking with my money." I thought, right, and then the ball got knocked forward, and Sean Wright Phillips way out on the wing, no chance of scoring, cut inside, put it in the top corner, 5 minutes ago, 4-1, Johnny Bish, £1,000. What? What if you just think, yeah, it just felt brilliant. If I felt like the luckiest man in the world. He, on the other hand, didn't feel as lucky as I did. As he ripped off his stud, and I was waving £500 in his face, saying, "That half could have been yours."
And did you not split it anyway?
No. He said no, it was his chance, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what you say, it wasn't luck, make your own luck.
Make your own luck. I think the closest to come, I can't remember it, I know it was a horse, but I once bet the wrong horse in a double, and I did it by mistake. I clicked on the wrong horse, and I'd already placed a bet, and needless to say, the horse I did bet wrongly did win. So I think that's the closest I've come to thinking that was a bit lucky. But no, you know, it's, you make your own. Simple as that. Make your own way in this world.
It's great to think some people are lucky. It's great to think, you know, sometimes something happens and you think, well, that was lucky. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, but it's an... it's an eventuality of an everyday event. You know, someone somewhere is going to get the right culmination of six numbers for the lottery.
Yeah,
you
know? I don't mean that. I just mean, I'm trying to think of something. You know, like in fact, did you see that thing on, it was The Life of Brian, where there was a spaceship went up to the space and then came down and crashed on Earth and blew everything up, and then this fella walked out. And someone went, "You lucky? That's lucky. If your spaceship crashes and you walk away on Earth, that's lucky."
Yeah.
Not that that happens to most of us, to be honest with you, on a daily basis.
Hmm. Well, it's like saying someone who should have got on a flight, missed a flight, and the flight goes down.
Yeah, that's lucky. All of those people in America who landed on that plane.
Oh, in the Hudson?
In the Hudson.
Yes.
They must think, "Oh, I was lucky that day."
So you think luck intervened there? I just don't think it was down to the skill of the actual pilot.
No, I think it was down to the skill of the pilot and also potentially the weight distribution within the plane. I think if all the tubbies had sat on one side, it might have just keeled over. So it was luck that they sort of said, "Let's all spread out." Luck's got to come into it. If you don't believe in luck, then it kind of ruins a little bit of magic as a betting man. You've got to believe in luck. You've got to believe in luck.
Yeah, badly.
I remember when Man United beat Liverpool in the FA Cup because the ball bounced off Jimmy Greenough's chest. That was luck. That was luck. It wasn't going into the goal. That was luck. You know what I mean? It was bad luck, but it's luck.
I remember when Widnes got to the 1983 Rugby League Challenge Cup final and they beat Leeds. Oh, was it Leeds? They beat someone at Headingley or somewhere. And Eddie Cunningham. Yeah, it was Eddie Cunningham. Kicked the ball. It was the last second and we were getting beat. It was the last second of the game. And he kicked the ball and it hit the actual woodwork of the goalpost. Bounced back and someone grabbed the ball and dived over for the line. Now, that's, to me, is luck.
So when they kicked it, they can run on.
So, no, when he did, he kicked it. I think, yeah, I was going to go for a drop goal to equal it.
But
it bounced off the woodwork. It bounced back into the field of play. A Windows player got it, and it went over the line.
There you go, you see.
So, yeah, stuff like that, I suppose. But, you know, hey. Anyway.
Sometimes it's going to be written in this day, isn't it?
As luck would have it, it's time for a break.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I was enjoying that little chat then. All right, so it's John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts. We're having a chat about things beginning with the letter L. If you're feeling lucky, come back after this. City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back, it's John Bishop, it's Kelvin Roberts. This is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. And we're, in fact, before I go on, who come up with that?
Luck.
No, the voice of Liverpool.
The management, the suits.
The suits?
Or maybe they probably paid a company something like £50,000 to come up with a slogan like that.
The voice of Liverpool?
Yeah.
Well, what if you're listening to this in Frodsham? Are we not talking to them?
Yeah, of course we are.
Are we not talking? Are we not talking to the people over in North Wales? Are we saying to those people, this isn't your voice, this is just our voice? If your postcode doesn't begin in L, don't listen. It's not for you.
Yeah, but it's the voice of Liverpool.
Yeah, but don't you think that's a little bit assertive?
Do you want to take it with Richard Maddock, boss?
Don't you think that's a little bit aggressive? This is the voice of Liverpool.
Feel free to air your grievances.
And this is the voice of Liverpool, listen. La. I think that's a little bit... I think maybe we need to say something. We need to say, This is the voice of Liverpool, but it doesn't exclude the surrounding areas. Yeah, let's try that. It's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Hey, but it doesn't exclude the surrounding areas.
That's right.
I think that's good, that.
Yeah.
You can put that in a little jingle.
Maybe in a little italics on the posters.
Yeah.
You know.
The posters would be massive. Yeah. There's the voice of... Oh, God, I've put my hand on that bloody bubble gum again.
You sort of say... Bloody.
Bloody's all right, isn't it? It's bloody not a radio word.
Listen, this is a child-friendly show.
It is a child-friendly show. It is a family show. And I'll say to any kids, listen, if you put your hand in bubblegum that someone else has chewed, you can say bloody. Even if you're in church.
Stop saying it, because I want to bleep this out.
You don't have to do
I'm not putting that in.
Seriously. Bloody's in the Bible, bloody's in the book. If you don't bloody believe me, take a bloody look.
So Jesus sometimes says bloody hell.
Yeah. But mate, I've put me here. This is disgusting. The working conditions that I'm sat in. I'm sat here in half mastigated food that's been stuck underneath a table. I think, to be honest with you, my human rights have been infringed. I'm going to get my agent under this. I want to get back in the cellar. Well, since they've started putting us in the studio, it's all gone downhill. I want to get downstairs, maybe wearing the
pants. Back to the bunker.
Back to the bunker. Because you know there's no Chewy in there, because no one else goes in.
I've already just caught on the fact you said before that you've got a cellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, to keep bottles of wine down there.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Cellar, eh? No, we're having a cellar.
I've never seen a cellar apart from in a pub.
I'd have to come to our house, our cellar.
I've been to your house, but you never show me your cellar.
It's not the kind of thing you say. Do you want a cup of tea? Fancy coming into the cellar? Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
I'd be proud to show off my cellar if I had one. You can't have one quiet.
Come in. There's a cup of tea, and this is the cellar. There you go. No, we converted it. It's got a pool table in.
Oh, of course, I've been down to it. You had your computer down there as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I had my office before I moved, it's see. It. Yeah. So I have been. So you have been. So stop pretending that you're not part of my world.
I'm sorry.
Stop pretending that I don't involve you.
I've just had this vision of like this old cobwebbed kind of...
No. It's all been what's called tanked.
Yeah.
Which means that somebody put plastic on the walls. That's all tanking means. And then to keep the cold out and the damp. And all the stuff that we won't go into because we've discussed that already. Anyway, we were talking about the letter L. We were talking about the Voice of Liverpool.
Yes.
Which is a good logo for any of the management that are listening and are renewing contracts. We love that logo, don't we? We both go, ooh.
We embrace it.
We embrace being the Voice of Liverpool. And I just don't want to exclude the surrounding areas. That's all. That's all I was saying. Love is a word beginning with L. But the last word we'll discuss before we do the word off, because I tell you what, because there's a figure here. There's a figure, and I want to see how close you can get to this figure.
Oh, I like these. Go on, right. Man. Go on.
Right. Light. What is the speed of light?
What's the speed of light?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to know that.
What did you just... Oh, I love this. Go on.
I thought it was going to be something I could possibly get.
You could get that.
What's the speed of light?
Yeah.
So it's as in, like, miles per hour?
Per second. Turn the lights off. Turn it back on.
I don't know. I'll go for 1,000 miles per second.
Not far. Really? Not far wrong. It's 186,282.
Oh, come on. I deserve a Brucey bonus for that. That's pretty close.
Yeah, you're only 185,282 miles out.
Yeah, see?
How fast is that? And the idea, we'll never travel at the speed of light. Not that fast. Not with the speed cameras that are knocking about around here.
How did he work that out, though? How literally did they work
that out? How do they work that out?
Oh.
How can you work that out? No one's gone that fast, has it?
No one's got any cameras that can, you know.
Someone somewhere will know how to measure visible light and how fast light can be. Because apparently if you go at the speed of light, then time goes backwards.
So is this how time travel is possible?
This is how time travel is suggested to be possible by Albert Einstein.
And Stephen Hawking.
I've not read his book, to be honest.
That's what he believes. He believes time travel is possible.
Yeah. Well, but theoretically it is. Theoretically it is. And just think, if it was, we could go to the start of this show, rehearse a little bit, make it better. Just think. Hey, if only we'd known.
And we'd know what won the 130 at Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In fact, we could make a hell of a lot of cash. But you'd be knackered, wouldn't you? You must get jet lag if you're going backwards and forwards in time.
Well, let's do a word off.
A word off, for those who don't know, is that we take the said letter of the week, this week being L, and we batter it. And so we have a competition to see who knows as many, the most words beginning with that letter. This week's letter is L, and who's beginning?
Me.
Go on then.
Lucky.
Loser.
Line.
Little.
Lost.
Lino.
Liechtenstein.
Length.
Limbo.
No, hang on. Length is new. It's got to be a thing.
A thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We can't say long. That makes no sense, does it?
Look, we keep having these rules and stipulations every week.
All right, then. All right, let's go,
it's
then.
It's a word. Look,
all right, then.
We struggle enough as it is.
All right, then. All right, maybe you're up to Liechtenstein.
Lost.
Lost. All right, I've said loser, haven't I? Lego.
Lanky.
Little.
Lisp.
List.
Lumberjack.
Limpant.
Little.
I've just done that.
No, you haven't.
I have just done that.
Well, I've done it. All right, we'll just carry on. Go on. Tick tock, tick tock.
Light.
Lightning.
Light bulb.
Little fish.
No way! You're gone! Once you start going little fish, you're finished. That's it. Let's finish the show with the happiest record in the world. Enjoy what's left of your weekend whenever you're listening, and we'll be back again sometime in the future. Unless we discover time travel, then who knows when we'll ever be here again.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know? You're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh. Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. He'll clap his hands, sing and dance, and talk his baby talk. With a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go with your bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do with your bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?